Sid Matthew. He's joining me right now. He's written 10 books, countless articles. He wrote and produced a documentary, The Life and Times of Bobby Jones, and continues to research and share information about the greatest amateur golfer in history. Of course, Bobby Jones won the Grand Slam of Golf in 1930. He co-founded Augusta National Golf Club in 1931, and he played in his first Masters tournament in 1934. And Sid Matthew is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Sid. Welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Now, Augusta National, Sid, was organized and built at the height of the Depression. Not an ideal time to start anything, right?
Well, the whole economy was folded up. Golf courses were going bankrupt. They were not building them. They were shutting them down. And, you know, it was the biggest challenge that any golf development has ever faced. But they pulled it off.
They certainly did. And in 1934, they came up with the idea of hosting a tournament that would generate revenue and publicity. It was originally called the Augusta National Invitational. And what I found interesting in reading one of your many articles, they got the international media on board by paying for their travel between New York and Augusta and putting them up in a hotel.
That's exactly right. You know, one of the originators was Grantland Rice, the famous sports writer. And all of the sports writers were at the Grapefruit League baseball in Florida, covering the practice and the tournaments in Florida. And so Grantland persuaded them to stop in Augusta on their way north during the spring. And thus they started the tournament in April. And they got all of the sports writers to go to the tournament. But, you know, the gate did not come in on the first tournament. So singer sewing machine magnate Alfred Severn Borne had to reach in his pocket and come up with the $5,000 purse for the first tournament because they were broke. Yeah, nobody showed up but the sports writers.
Now, how did Bobby Jones find Fruitlands Nursery, which is the land that obviously Augusta National was
well, it was started by the Berkmans family as a nursery. And then Commodore Stoltz, who owned some hotels in South Florida and New York, decided to develop it into a residential golf course community in 29. The Depression hit. His hotel in Miami went broke. And so he folded up the development. And Walton Marshall, who was with Bonaire Vanderbilt Hotels, found the property, told Cliff about it, Cliff Roberts, and Cliff Roberts then invited Bob to come see it, and Bob walked out on the veranda, and he looked out there, and he said, it looks like a golf course has already been laid on this property. You know, he fell in love with it, and then the rest is history.
Well, I know Augusta National was the inspiration of Bobby Jones and Alistair McKenzie, but Bobby Jones greatly admired Donald Ross, so why did Bobby Jones choose Alistair McKenzie over Donald Ross when designing Augusta National?
Well, of course, Bob Jones was enamored with the golf course that was the love of his life, the old course at St. Andrews. He first saw it as a 19-year-old kid in 1921 when he went over to play in the Open. And he later said that if he was sentenced to play on one golf course for the rest of his life, it would be St. Andrews. And, of course, the reason is that St. Andrews is not obvious at all. You never play that golf course the same way twice. And there's always a way, a new way to play it. And so Bob really wanted somebody who knew more about St. Andrews than any other golf course architect. And that person happened to be McKenzie. McKenzie did the line drawing, the first survey of the old course in 1924 for the R&A. And so Bob respected Donald Ross. He rerouted East Lake in 1913, making it, you know, the tour championship course that it is. He did the number two course at East Lake, and he also did Highlands in 1928 for East Lake. That was Bob's summer course where he tuned up for the Masters. And so Alistair McKenzie really was the person that Bob needed to not to copy the holes at St. Andrews, but to try to recreate the shot values and the feel of the course. We also know that there was somebody else in 1931 that Bob invited to design Augusta, but that fell through, and I'm publishing that next week. You can go to Golf Digest, and you'll find a new story about Bob's first choice that didn't come to pass, and that's a very shocking new revelation.
Wow. So Alistair McKenzie was not his first choice?
It turns out that Alistair McKenzie was not his first choice. Bob picked another architect that we're going to reveal next week. And it was an established British architect that Bob valued, because once again, the common denominator for Bob was St. Andrews.
Sure.
Because it's such a special golf course.
Now, how did you uncover this latest development?
Well, it's interesting. When Bob passed, his youngest daughter, recovered all of his office files and put them in her garage for 50 years. And then when she passed and her husband passed, they went to the granddaughter, and the granddaughter put them in her garage for another 30 years. And finally, just the last few months, started poking around in the files and found this correspondence between Bob and the new
mystery designer.
The mystery designer. Yeah, really. It's a fascinating story. And, of course, you know, Alistair McKenzie was in Great Britain in June of 1931 when he was selected by Bob. The mystery architect actually got into a fight with his partners, and they disbanded the firm. And, of course, it was the height of the Depression, so he didn't want to do it by himself, and the offer fell through. So Clifford Roberts and Bob had to pick, quickly the next person on the list. And that turned out to be McKenzie, who was in Great Britain at the time. This is about June 4. McKenzie returned to the United States and then got to work on Augusta.
So let's move to the relationship between Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts. I understand Clifford Roberts was a very tough guy to like, from what I've read. Tell us some stories about Clifford Roberts.
Well, Clifford Roberts was an investment banker, and he was from New York, and he used to travel to Augusta in the early 20s, 25, 6, 7, around in there. Every year, he'd bring a group from New York down to Augusta because it was delightful weather. It was 10 degrees lower than Atlanta, and they all got together, and it was the captains of industry. It was the president of the Bank of Chicago, Mel Traylor. It was Eugene Grace, Bethlehem Steel. It was Rex Cole of Rex Cole Refrigeration, and the head of NBC, M.H. Osworth, all captains of industry. And Cliff invested money for them. Interestingly, Mel Traylor, the chairman of the National Bank of Chicago, accurately predicted the stock market crash and told Cliff about it ahead of time, but Cliff did not follow his advice and get his clients out of the market, and they all lost all their money.
Oh, my gosh.
But Cliff was very clever, got all of the investors together that had any money left, and they had to go through several reorganizations. They didn't declare bankruptcy, but they changed a partnership into a corporation, and then it went defunct, and they were always scrambling for money. They did not even have the money to pay Alistair McKenzie's architect fee, and McKenzie wrote a letter in 1933 to Cliff Roberts that said, "Dear Cliff, the depression in California is so bad that I've sold my golf clubs and I'm down to my last $100. Could you please see fit to pay me something toward my fee in Augusta?" And Cliff wrote back and said, "Dear Dr. McKenzie, the depression is terrible in Georgia too, and we don't have any money to pay you, and be glad you got $100 and make sure that you get your work done on Augusta on time." So Cliff was kind of a prickly fellow. Morton Hodgson, R.W. Woodruff of Coca-Cola's nephew, used to tell stories about how Bob Jones and Cliff would go down to South America, and they had three golf courses down there, Coca-Cola bottling plants down there. They played golf on the golf courses, and Morton said that they got on an elevator one time, and a foreign national got on, and Morton said, "Buenos dias." Bob Jones did not speak Spanish. He said, "Buenos dias." Cliff said nothing. And when they got off the elevator, Bob pulled Cliff close to him and said, "Cliff, that was rude. You know, I don't speak Spanish, but I said buenos dias. You could have at least been courteous enough to do that." And Cliff pushed off and said, "Bob, you know, I don't speak Spanish. And if I said buenos dias, the man might have thought that I spoke fluent Spanish. I would not have been able to respond to him. It would have created an international incident. So hell no, I'm not going to say buenos dias." So you can imagine he had a pretty prickly relationship with Bob. They got their financial ox in the ditch, and Cliff arranged for Bob to go up to Citibank and meet with a banker, Doug Smith. They played Blind Brook, and Bob asked Doug to come into the locker room for a libation. They talked about the deal, got the financing terms right. And then Bob said, "Doug, I just have to call Cliff and run it by him." So they brought a phone in, and Bob had to hold the phone about 6 inches away from his ear. And Doug could hear on the other side, "No, no, we're not doing that. No, 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 no." And he was so embarrassed that when Bob hung up, Doug said, "Well, what did Mr. Roberts say?" And Bob Jones said, "Cliff said that'd be fine."
You have so many great stories, man. Oh, my God. We could talk forever. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Sid Matthew, the foremost authority on Bobby Jones. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to read this Golf Digest article about this new revelation about Bobby Jones' original choice to co-design the Augusta National.
Yeah, Jerry Tardy's going to post that next week on Golf Digest, so everybody should look out for that. It's fascinating and explains more of the turmoil and adverse relationship that circumstances that Augusta faced in its early days. So it'll be a lot of fun for everybody.
You're just an incredible encyclopedia, really, and I understand that all your boxes of research and interviews that you did about Bobby Jones are with Emory University now. Did I read that?
Yes. Emory's got 22 linear feet of four-drawer lateral file cabinets of my research over the last 30 years.
Unbelievable. Sid Matthew, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Happy Easter to everybody.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help me get back to doing the things I love, like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.